I really have felt over the last few weeks that God has laid this word in my heart, and we're going to read about the God of all comfort. And in your pew Bibles, the passage is on page 222. It's Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, starting from verse 3. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others who have the same kind of trouble using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. Just as we share in Christ's many sufferings, so also through Christ we share in God's great help. If we suffer, it is for your help and salvation. If we are helped, then you too are helped and given the strength to endure with patience the same sufferings that we also endure. So our hope in you is never shaken. We know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the help we receive. We want to remind you, brothers, of the trouble we had in the province of Asia. The burdens laid upon us were so great and so heavy that we gave up all hope of staying alive. We felt that the death sentence had been passed on us. But this happened so that we should rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. From such terrible dangers of death, he saved us and will save us. And we have placed our hope in him that he will save us again, as you help us by means of your prayer for us. So it will be that the many prayers for us will be answered, and God will bless us, and many will raise their voices to him in thanksgiving for us. We can learn so much about God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. This is a letter where Paul shares with us some of his deepest feelings. I'll also be linking this to the purpose and value of prayer and what Paul has to say about love in 1 Corinthians 13. So what's the key message here? Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You see, dear friends, we all need to experience God's comfort and compassion. Sometimes we can see no end or no answer to what's happening in our lives. Our hearts may be breaking as the result of situations we face or for those that we love. And what Paul is saying here is that the Father's comfort is absolutely limitless. It's not only given to a few people, it's available for anyone. And it's also given in all kinds of ways. You see, our Father is incredibly, he's omnipresent, he's always present, but also he never sleeps. So he has the capacity to give comfort in all kinds of ways. And so often, my experience of receiving God's comfort has been through receiving verses of scripture that can be prayed out. And I had an acute attack of anxiety, which many know I experience in my life. But this was just after the, in fact, it was on the day of Steps to Freedom. And Yvette in our congregation had a verse for me, and she felt God saying to her, "You need to send this to Maria now." And I received it on the church prayer request phone. And it was absolutely fantastic. It's from 1 Peter 5, verses 7 to 10. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And that verse brought tremendous comfort to me. I'm also going to share with you Lorna's story. I attended the Family Fun Day last October and was given the promise card, so we gave out verses of scripture with God can bless you with everything you need. That night, my dad suffered a major stroke which left him paralyzed and hospitalized for 5 months. He suffered a further stroke in April, and God took him home in May this year. This verse has been such a strength. I would look at it and speak it out, knowing that God knew everything I and my dad needed and that he was in control. God knew the day I was given this verse what the next 7 months would bring, and God was true to his promise in giving us strength and peace and supplying everything we needed. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lorna, for giving permission to share that testimony with you. Because in Isaiah, it tells us that it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. That tells me so much about the Father heart of God. But it also really emphasizes why we need the Holy Spirit. Because one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is described is as the Comforter. And Tom Wright, and I thank God for Tom Wright and his tremendous insights on the Holy Spirit. Tom Wright describes the Holy Spirit, the Comforter's comfort, as a kind of extra strength to meet special needs. And I really think that sums up both of what speaking out those words of scripture did. But Paul also tells us that he is a father of compassion, and also that he's father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus reflects the character of his Father in his compassion that he demonstrated when he was here, and in how he continues to help us, interceding at our Father's right hand for us when we call out to him and when we pray. In The Magician's Nephew, C.S. Lewis writes about a boy called Diggory, whose mother is dying of cancer and meets Aslan the lion. But please, please, won't you? Can't you give me something that will cure mother? Up till then, Diggory had been looking at the lion's great feet and the huge claws on them. Now, in despair, he looked up at its face. What he saw surprised him as much as anything in his whole life, for the tawny face was bent down near his own. Wonder of wonders, great shining tears stood in the lion's eyes. They were such big, bright tears compared with Diggory's own that for a moment he felt as if the lion must really be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. My son, said Aslan, I know grief is great. There's a card in the Faith Mission bookshop that says the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. But how do we feel when our prayers are not answered? C.S. Lewis lost his own mother to cancer when he was a child, and after the publication of The Magician's Nephew, he lost his wife to cancer after less than 4 years of marriage. And he writes very honestly and movingly about the impact on his faith and prayer life. Some in the church didn't want this published, but C.S. Lewis is bearing his soul, and we can be just as honest when we tell God how we are feeling. What chokes every prayer, every hope, is the memory of all the prayers H. Joy, his wife, and I offered, and all the false hopes we had. I've written a prayer poem that I want to share with you this morning, relating to something I've experienced. And God, I just pray that I'll be able to do this. A pit of despair. Where is hope? Loss upon loss stacked up. A tidal wave of grief swallowed whole. Broken, undone. Small sobs of anguish as pain leaks out. And when I wrote that poem, I felt Jesus very clearly saying to me, at the start, I was there. And I firmly believe that Jesus is there in all the experiences that we undergo. And I'm not yet at the point that I can say when all falls apart, he repairs, but I believe Jesus was and continues to be there. And how do we know that he understands what we are experiencing in our lives? Stuart Townend put it brilliantly in one of the songs we sung just before the sermon. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Dear friends, Jesus has been there. He's experienced everything we experienced. And he experienced complete separation from his father when he died for us on the cross. But you know, we still cannot always understand the things that may happen to us in this life. And I think Paul, in his wonderful passage on love, really sums this up. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But it does make things so difficult, because sometimes we can't always see answers or the impact of our prayers, even in our own lifetime. And I often think about Mary Robertson and those wonderful women who prayed for revival in Gorebridge, and how wonderfully, in this time of great fruitfulness, those prayers are now being answered. But that's not the end. Paul goes on to say, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Because in these situations where we are suffering, we often need people to stand alongside us. I want to thank Derek Prime for his insights into the passage. And he sums this up beautifully when he says, sometimes we may help others only as we ourselves have trodden the path we have to tread. God knows from the beginning the people he's going to send across our path throughout our life. Nothing is ever wasted in God's school of suffering. You see, God has sent people to me that have experienced grief to help me bear the grief that's associated with depression, anxiety, the loss that I've experienced, that often robs people we love of the joy of living. And I thank God for them. Paul also goes on to say, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. This is because we're called to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. Just as Paul suffered rejection and persecution in his time, we too are living in such times where standing up for kingdom values, being wholehearted, can actually cause suffering. But as we suffer, then Paul is promising us that our comfort will abound through Christ. And how do we know this? Well, through his wounds we are healed. And that's a prayer in our prayer ministry team that we pray when we stand alongside people, because we're thanking Jesus for what he's already accomplished through the cross. He's the living word made flesh. He's the wonderful counselor. I love that passage in Isaiah, which we often see in the season of Advent, about unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. And when he was talking in John, as John tells us, to his disciples and comforting them, he told them that as well as sending the Holy Spirit, he would impart them with his peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For years, I have wrestled with what Jesus says when he says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because a Christian life sometimes isn't very easy at all. And sometimes we struggle, we don't hear God. It just seems tremendously hard work. But I believe that's what Jesus is talking about here. And that supernatural sense of peace that he gives us can really meet our needs as we suffer. And how can we receive that peace? Well, can we receive it through prayer? Speaking out a verse of the Bible is a prayer. Telling God very plainly about the trouble we're in. And I travel a lot in my job between different parts of Edinburgh. And I often use that opportunity to talk to God and say, I've done it again. What a massive muck-up I've made today. And I'm really worried about this, God. What can I do about it? And I ask for his help. And then wonderfully, as the day pans out, I can see him answering that prayer. It may not be straight away, but I certainly have so much to be thankful for. It could be singing a chorus, the wonderful music that Keith has chosen today. And some of these are taken straight from words in the Bible. And that is a prayer. Receiving prayer, being prayed for. We have a prayer ministry team, and we long to be able to pray for you and with you. Because, as Tom Wright again says when he talks about the Holy Spirit, not only is he the comforter, he's our helper. Jesus' own breath, his inner life moves in us as we receive that impartation of peace. We also can be helped by the example and witness of others who've suffered. This combination of suffering and comfort abounding in someone's life can be a living witness to others. Pete Gregg, who founded 24/7, is a real hero of mine. And Andy and I went to see him at CLAN, and it was probably a couple of years after we first started coming to Gorebridge in 2009, and he told a very funny story about being in France, and he was camping and sleeping rough a bit, and he was in a lift at the bottom of a shopping centre, and he was getting changed, but what he didn't realise was it was a glass lift, and as a glass lift went up, he was exposed. But what we didn't realise when he was saying that was he and his wife were undergoing a time of tremendous trial as she suffered quite a devastating illness. Derek Prime tells us how incredibly poor our experience of God's character as our glorious Father would be if we did not know trouble. And I just want to read Pete Gregg's wife's afterward in the book that they've written, where he describes some of the things that have happened to him. And he talks a little bit about why God doesn't always answer prayer. I'm thrilled that Peter has written God on Mute. These last few years have been a difficult and painful journey for both of us, but they have also enabled us to learn more of God's heart and draw a little closer to him on our journey. Recalling events and memories of the last 5 years has surprised us both. At times it has brought us to tears, sometimes in the middle of the night, crying out to God in old and in new ways. At other times we've been left thanking him in amazement at the great things he has done. I don't always understand God's ways in my life, but I am absolutely certain that he can be trusted. Paul then talks a little bit about the cost associated with his ministry and the tremendous love and pastoral aspect of that ministry in relation to his support of the Corinthian church. He says, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. You see, in this letter, it's often called the letter of tears, Paul is defending his ministry in the face of great criticism. And he's also bearing his soul about some of his trials as well. But I think in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it talks about the impact of this love that Paul is witnessing to in his letter, but also that he's demonstrating, and Jesus demonstrated, and we demonstrate as we reach out to those who maybe don't yet know Jesus or people in our family. If you love someone, you will always be loyal to him, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground defending him. And I pray that that is a verse of comfort and encouragement for many of us who are praying for members of our own families. Because the verse that immediately follows this verse, I think, is one of the most hope-filled verses in the Bible. Love never fails. And how do we know this? Because Jesus died for us. He never failed us. He went through with that great rescue plan that we may be restored to a living relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we can never underestimate the power of the cross or the power of Jesus' resurrection. And it leads to perseverance and endurance, because the testimony of others who have and are experiencing hardship can encourage others to develop character and endurance. And here, Paul is expressing his hope and his confidence in the Corinthian church. And then Paul goes on to share how he has been driven to the depths of life itself. And we don't really know what he's talking about here. Many have thought it may be a great illness where he almost died. People may think he's been talking about rejection and persecution, but what he says is he's driven to the depths in order that he may rely on God who raises the dead for deliverance. And again, this links to the role of the Holy Spirit, because, dear friends, when we're at the limit of our endurance, we cry out, and the Holy Spirit, the advocate, pleads to God on our behalf, so he's reminded of our plight. He helps us in our weakness. We may not experience the intensity of Paul's experiences, but there may be situations where we come to the absolute limit of our endurance, when all we can do is surrender and cry out to God for deliverance. And in these situations, the Holy Spirit The Spirit of Jesus himself will act as an advocate, pleading to God on our behalf, so he is reminded of our plight. And why is this? Because the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. When I had all my difficulties at work, I went back after a long period of being off sick and thought I was doing okay, but I was trusting really in my own strength. And I had a massive meltdown in the car, and I cried out to God, and nothing seemed to happen. I went off sick again, and I thought, is this really the end? But actually, that was the beginning of me having to totally trust in God. And when I went back that next day, a job of a lower band was available for me to move into. But I didn't see that at the time, and it's taken me 3 or 4 years to actually understand that when I cried out to God, he did hear me, but answered me in a completely different way than what I expected. I even had a meltdown yesterday going out with my wonderful friends, Susan and Guy, and got anxious because I've totally overdone it this week. Here I go again, I thought. But thank you, Susan and Guy, who prayed over me. And thank you, precious Heavenly Father, for reassuring me that everything was all right. Because when I am going through some of the difficult times in life, quite often what Jesus says to me is never underestimate the power of prayer. And this really is what Paul is emphasizing when he says, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayer. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You see, here Paul is recognizing the importance of intercessory prayer for continued deliverance as he looks forward in hope. He's making a conscious choice and a decision. And it's really the essence of faith, which is looking for the substance of things hoped for, the promise of things not yet seen. We prayed in our prayer walk before the fun day that people would really want to come inside the church. And God answered our prayers most wonderfully. People were really keen to see inside. We prayed for people to be healed. They came in and asked for prayer for healing, and they were healed. And we are incredibly grateful for that. We also have Jesus' promise that we can do even greater things in his name, because we have that same resurrection power that Paul is talking about here. I had an email from Mike Endicott, who's a priest in Wales, and he talks a lot about being a kingdom walker. And he talks about sometimes when we pray, it may not be a solution that God gives us that fits in with what the world would say we have to do. And he gives the example of Joshua going around Jericho, where for day after day they went around the city with the Ark of the Covenant, praising God and singing, and the walls fell. They didn't have to lob in burning bits. They didn't have to climb the walls with rope ladders. They relied on what God told them to do. I believe he's given us injustice genes. I have a huge unfairness gene. When I'm in the car with Andy and we come on the motorway to the roadworks sign and it says all cars merge into one lane, see these cars that leave it till the last possible minute to go in. And I say to Andy, don't let them in, don't let them in. And he's a very courteous driver. He invariably lets them all in. But I really have to be aware of that because I may not see the bigger picture, dear friends. And thank you, Andy, for your patience and for your patience every night for the last month when I've been battling over this sermon. But, you know, for those of us who have injustice genes, we're struck and we're hurt when we see the suffering of others. And God's given us those genes so we can stand in the gap for those in desperate situations. And that's where the creativity of the Holy Spirit, who was present at creation, we're now filled with that same spirit that's now been identified as Jesus' own spirit. You see, the Creator God was acting afresh. He was actually remaking the world and us too, producing fruit in our lives, giving us gifts, assuring us of future resurrection. And you know, I pray for the gift of prophecy to be released in us, because through being given words from the Bible, Janice gave me one this morning, which was a great encouragement before I preached. You see, this releases comfort and builds us up. It's nothing to be scared of, dear friends. And that's why Paul talks about it as being the most important gift. Prayer also prompts and supports love being transformed into action. We cannot do the little acts of kindness, like we gave out fruit and prayed for people, without being prayed over on that half night of prayer first. And what Paul's doing here is reflecting back with thanksgiving to look forward in hope to the answers to prayer that are going to come. And thanksgiving is a natural output of intercessory prayer. And we have so much to be thankful. I rejoice when I see you praying in prayer for others. I rejoice when I see people receiving words and pictures in a small group of people praying in a prayer cell or in our prayer room before the service. I rejoice in the love that's expressed in our congregation through a hug or a word of comfort as we reach out to members who are experiencing difficulties. If one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. You see, it's that wonderful combination of praying and doing that Jesus modeled, and time spent in prayer with our Father can then prompt and support action. We're following the example of Jesus, who never turned anyone away. And I long for anyone who has a need for prayer, whether it be for themselves or others, for that to be realized so that we can pray for and with you. And Paul finishes his letter to the passage in 1 Corinthians 13 on love, saying, "And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Because you see, in this passage, Paul has demonstrated his faith, his hope, and his love for the Corinthian church. And it's my great hope in this sermon that I've demonstrated how much our Heavenly Father loves us, how he gives us hope through the comfort we receive, how through prayer we can have the faith to stand in the gap for others and trust in him. And the prophet Jeremiah experienced so many troubles in his life. He experienced so many unanswered prayers. He was stuck in a little hole full of mud, and he had to cry out to God to be rescued. And his heart broke as he saw his people going into exile. But he was still able to say one of my favorite verses in the Bible: "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning." And what I'd like to do now is I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'm going to pray words of love from our Heavenly Father over you. "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but I'm the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, For I am the perfect Father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you these desires. I'm able to do far more than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I'm also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe every tear from your eye, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death is the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party he has ever seen. I have always been your Father and will always be your Father. Love your Dad, Almighty God. Amen.